Comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. How many of you are blessed to be here today? What a blessing to come apart from this crazy world and worship. Amen. Anybody face some troubles and difficulties today? A little later on. This world is kind of a mess, isn't it? It's kind of falling apart, but we serve a big God. Amen? Amen? How can we face a world that's filled with so much difficulty? There we go. Winston Churchill had a quote. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. How can we use the challenges that confront us and turn them into opportunities? That's what we're going to discuss today. Join me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you love us enough to bring us through this crazy world, and that we know that you're always there with us, even through the difficult times. Help us through your word to understand that you have the best interest for us, and that you're faithful, and that we can trust you. All this we ask in his name, amen. If we have those lights on, can you guys still see the screen? Because then I can see the paper better. Thank you. John needs glasses, real glasses. Time to put the cheaters away and go to the doctor. Thank you. You can still see that okay? Okay. Our scripture reading says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God for you. Rejoice always, give thanks in everything. Everything?
Everything?
God's will is for you to see the opportunity in every difficulty. I saw a clip this weekend. It kind of made me think of this, and I kind of wanted to share it with you. I didn't want to play it here, but anyways, it was an interview with an actor, Sir Michael Caine. You guys may have seen Michael Caine before. That's not all that important, but the story is interesting. He was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him about something he read about Michael Caine's philosophy. And his philosophy is use the difficulty. And he asked him to explain this a little bit. And he explained that when he was a young actor, he was rehearsing for a stage play. And he was supposed to come in through a back door. And there was a couple, a man and a woman, that were improvising a scene. And they were arguing. And they got a little carried away because they were improvising. They started throwing some things. And the man threw a chair, and it wedged in the door that he was supposed to go through. So just when he was going to go through, the door stuck, and he stuck his head through, and he told the director, sir, I can't get in. He goes, well, what do you mean you can't get in? He said, well, there's a chair stuck in. He goes, use the difficulty. What? What do you mean? Well, if it's a comedy, fall over it. If it's a drama, pick it up and smash it, but use the difficulty. And Michael Caine said that he took it into his own life. He said, I use that in my acting career, but I really took it into my own life. So when any difficulty came, use the difficulty. He said, if you ask my children that if any bad thing happens, the first thing they ask is, how can we use this difficulty? What can we get out of it? How can we use this for something better? Use the difficulty. There's never anything so bad that you cannot use the difficulty. If you use it 0.25%, you're ahead because you didn't let it get you down. Use the difficulty. That's my philosophy, he said. And I think that's pretty good advice. Is life difficult? Amen?
Amen.
Find the opportunities and difficulties. Need some ideas on how to do that? Well, I think this is a pretty good place to look, isn't it? God's word is full of examples of how to use the difficulty. Steve's got 1 Corinthians, so I went to Romans. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We could use some hope too, right? But God has given us all kinds of examples so we can know that we can trust him, right? So how can I do this? The first step is to know that God is faithful. Is he faithful? How do we know that? Yeah, that's a good answer. He's the God of taking an impossible situation and turning it into an incredible opportunity. We have incredible examples of this all through the Bible, don't we? We have the examples in the lives of Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Rahab, Job, and the list goes on. And don't worry, I'm not going to go through them all. We'd be here for weeks. We can read through their testimonies and see that God is trustworthy. He delivers on his promises. Amen? He is faithful. We can verify through history, and this young lady that's coming is going to help us to understand that a little better. That's amazing, isn't it, when we can put history together with God's word, and just it's so awesome. We can see that these were real people. They really existed. They really lived. We can, through a personal relationship, experience for ourselves the amazing ability to turn our difficulties into victories in our lives as well. How can we use the difficulty to strengthen our faith? If we really believe that we can trust him, we can glory in difficulties and enter into an adventure that we could have never imagined. I think the enemy tries to paint the Christian life as kind of boring, right? That you're going to lose everything. You're just going to sit in a pew. When you go to heaven, you're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp. It's going to be boring, right? But if we look to God's word, is there any boring there?
No.
Or do you see adventure and awesomeness and a life of fulfillment? That the devil doesn't want us to have that. He just says it's restrictive, it's limiting. The Christian life is just dull. You really want to live, you want excitement, follow me. Oh, he's got it kind of backwards, doesn't he? This couldn't be farther from the truth, the devil's lie, that is boring and limiting. If we enter into a relationship with him, Jesus, trust him, and really submit to his will, we will have the adventure of a lifetime. Have you had an adventure in your walk with Jesus?
Absolutely.
Amen. It's a little less boring, isn't it? If you have your Bibles, turn with me, and in a little while, you're going to have an opportunity to talk, but I'll let you know, Oscar, when it is, because I want you guys to share some things. But turn in your Bibles to Romans 5, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Let's see if we can trust him. Therefore, having been justified by faith, Bob, what's justified? Stephen? Justified?
Just as if I never
said. All right, that's a pretty good deal. By faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking for peace. It's right there. Through whom also we have access to faith into this grace which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Some good stuff there, isn't there? Even in a difficult world, we have some hope. Not only that, wait, there's more. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. If you look at, there's a little letter there, and down below it says endurance. So I think that's a more modern word. I think we understand that a little better. So I used that. Knowing that tribulation produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. What is tribulation? It's got an old-timey word. Trials. Difficulties, right? That's a kind of a modern term for it, right? We call it troubles or conflicts or difficulties. Difficulty produces endurance. That's what it says, right?
Yeah.
It says that we glory in difficulties, if you allow me to, knowing that difficulties produce endurance. What's endurance? You can make it go the distance, right? If you look at the lives of any of the great Bible characters, did they just wake up one day with this great faith, perfect character? They were just great all of their whole lives? Or were most of them train wrecks like me? I mean, really? I mean, if you look at them, then they grew out of those difficulties, right? They built endurance. They built their character through those trials and seeing that they could trust a God that was bigger than those troubles. We serve a big God. Sometimes we need those difficulties. That's what builds our faith. They had difficult lives. Life is difficult. They used these difficulties to build up their faith. This was done over time. You don't decide you're going to run a marathon and just go do it, right? Has anybody ever run?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got to do some work, right? It's been a long time since John ran. You have to build up your strength. Start with training, develop your muscles, build up endurance. You don't start running 26 miles or whatever it is. You start, how much was it?
26.2.
I'd say the 0.2 too if I ever got that far. That's a long ways. 0.2 is a long ways when you first start, right? So it takes some work to get to there, right? Our faith takes that work too. We have to work at it. And if we use the difficulties God gives us and understand that He's faithful, can we trust Him?
Yeah.
He's trustworthy, right? If you're training for a marathon, it requires training. It hurts a bit. You ever work out? You can't move the next day? I call that putting my shoes on now, but but if when you start exercising, it hurts a little, but then the next day you're a little better and you get stronger and it breaks things down. But if you use that, you can build your strength. If you use the difficulties that life throws at you for God, man, there's nothing you can't do in Him. The athlete looks for the finish line. When you ran, were you hoping to get to that finish line? Yeah, right. I think most runners, I mean, yeah, sure, it's good to win, but you just want to finish, right? The important thing is that you did it. That's a pretty big accomplishment. How many of you ever, besides you, sir, how many of you run 26 miles? I know I never have. I was a sprinter back in the day, but even back when I was young, I could never run a distance. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says this. And hopefully the words are big enough. They're kind of small, aren't they? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. So the first thing is to put aside what? Yeah. That's the first part of the training, right? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with what?
Patience.
Endurance, right? We run with endurance. And how do we get endurance? How did the verse we read before, how did we get? It's tribulations. Oh, okay. So if we're running with endurance, we've seen some trouble already, right? We've seen some difficulties. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. There's the reward, right? The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that if he faced those difficulties and he came through, And he's carrying us through. There's nothing we can't get through, right? There's nothing that's all that hard. So if we can learn to learn from those things, life can look different, couldn't it? You ever have that guy who complains about everything? His difficulties are everything, right? We use the difficulties of life to give us the endurance to build our character. The cool thing is when you have something to share with others so you can encourage and build them up as well. Is it easy to share something with somebody that you don't have yourself? Kind of have to have it first, right? 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5 says this. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our difficulties, tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So once we're comforted by God, we know how awesome that is. Don't we want to share that with somebody else? That's pretty awesome if we can share it. The cool thing is the more you share, the more he gives to you. So you're never out anything. You just get more of an adventure. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome when you help somebody else. When someone's down and you can just, sometimes a smile, hand on a shoulder. I mean, today you have to be a little careful with everything, but a little note. Hey, I'm praying for you. It doesn't take much. But for in a world where everything's just looking at screens and walking by everybody, someone taking the time to care about you, that matters. Does Jesus care for us?
Yeah.
Amen. For all the sufferings of Christ abound in us. This is why Jesus suffered. All the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds through Christ. He suffered so that that we could be saved. But he doesn't want us just to hold it for ourselves. We should share it with others. Use the experience of your difficulties to encourage others that the God that made an amazing outcome for you, he can do that for them as well. We have a testimony, don't we? Does everybody here have a testimony? If you've got a relationship with Jesus, you have a testimony. Hebrews 10:23-25 says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is what?
Faithful.
Do you believe that? We have to believe it. If you believe that he's faithful, there's really no trouble that should bother us. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching?
Yeah.
You better believe it. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Sounds like a pretty good thing. We are called to comfort one another, lift one another up, to stir love and good works. Oscar, you got the... Okay, this is your part. This is our part. I think it's good when we can share some of what God has done for us, right? So Conrad and Oscar have the microphones. If you've had an experience where God has turned a difficulty into an opportunity, or taken a terrible situation, turned it into a marvelous blessing, if a few of you would like to share, we'll open it up for this time. What's that? What's on? Oh. So anytime you've had a bad situation, God's turned into something great. All right, I can share something that's not related to the Christian walk, but this is an example of how this happens. Ronald Reagan was doing a speech. He had some assassination attempts, right? So he's speaking, and a balloon popped. And instead of being afraid or that, he never missed a beat. And he said, "Missed me." And he did that not just for the humor, but it was to show that he wasn't afraid of these threats, that he was a strong leader. And that's how you can use something that could be a, probably inside he was terrified. I mean, I would be. It doesn't matter how important you are. That's a scary thing. But if you can take that thing and turn it into, take something that was meant, that was, could be totally fearful and turn it into a positive thing, how much more can God do that in our lives?
And I think, oh dear, and the situation happened, and it has turned into a blessing for me.
Amen.
I have that happen all the time, and even if you have an acoustic neuroma and you have surgery. And it's a very difficult one, and maybe you can't walk very good afterward. God speaks to me.
Amen.
God speaks to me during that time. And what a blessing. There are so many blessings in our lives. He just loves us so much.
Amen. Julie shared, I think just last week, that they had a breakdown. And that can be frustrating. And a lot of people be like, I'm doing something for you, God. Why would you allow this? And then you go a few miles and you see the terrible accident. And
yeah.
But then you can use that and you can say, I serve a God that loves me so much that even with my pigheadedness and my stubbornness, he'll save me. And he gives us opportunities in those tough times.
Well, I was just going to say, it seems to me like COVID was a big opportunity for all of us. It was a terrible thing. It was a couple years or however long we want to say it lasted. But it taught us all, I think, to question what we hear and not just accept it blindly. And even though some of us didn't necessarily go along with the narrative that they were spilling out. I think it made everybody stronger to either question or to say, okay, it's coming around again. Something's coming around again. Let's all be ready this time. Let's hang together. Let's question. Let's study. So, anyway.
That's right. Who can we trust, though? Who never leads us astray is Jesus. That's right. Joseph?
I know there's been multiple times where when we went out to Chicago to feed the homeless and we had either taken a wrong turn or gone down to areas where we probably shouldn't have been when we're trying to find where we're needing to go.
Youth leader, John.
I feel like we were able to turn those situations into, like, just the people in the area just seeing us and us offering them food was something that was like took something that we thought was like a really bad situation and really turned it to good. And then just the fact that like the areas that we were, where some people were like, what are you doing down here? Like over in this area. And it's just,
you know, when the people are down there are like, why are you here? you took a wrong turn.
But I feel like at least every little bit was something that he can take and work with, you know. So
that's awesome. We've had some interesting situations down there. We've had some people that were a little volatile, but sometimes you just say, "Well, I'm praying for you," and give him a hug, and that God can diffuse and turn it into a positive thing. Sometimes people just need some reassurance that you're not there for you, that you're there for them, right? Because a lot of people do things so they feel good, right? But they can tell the difference. When they really know you're there because you care about, even if you're from 75 miles away, that makes a difference. And that makes an impact. And then that can go on. And we had the bus breakdown on the side of the road.
Yep.
That was the devil saying, we had a little prayer meeting on the side of the road, and we used it. We didn't let that keep us down. We went the next week. So, Robert?
I can't help but remember he's talking about that, a young lady standing where you were, and she's explaining how the soup never ran out until all were served. And the look on her face, I could see that with my eyes wide open still. God be praised.
Yeah, we had like a tray, a soup. All right, so in order to make it so that we could dispense it, they had to make it in advance. Well, the noodles soaked up a lot of them. One of the guys said, "This isn't soup." I said, "But it's delicious." and he said, "Well, okay, I'll take some." But it was, they give you a little, there's a little testing there, right? Because I think the thing was, you say you're here to help us and you give us something substandard, but when you can use that to glorify God, it makes a difference. Vivian?
Well, you know, no trouble is pleasurable. But when you read Hebrews 12:2, it says, Jesus, for the joy that he saw coming from his trial on the cross, he looked forward to the joy.
Yeah.
And so... you can endure a lot of things if you can see past it,
right,
the joy. And we all have wonderful joy awaiting us ahead. And it's all the troubles of this world are worth it.
They'll seem like cheap enough.
Jesus said, looking forward to the joy of having us with him.
That's right.
And that was his joy.
Just like the race, right? You're looking forward to that finish, to what's ahead. And how much greater do we have to look forward to in heaven in Jesus?
When you were speaking, John, all I could think of is a butterfly having to break out of its chrysalis. It has to have that struggle in order to pump fluid in its wings.
Right.
Without that, it wouldn't be able to fly.
I think sometimes we have terrible things happen in our life, and we think, why are you allowing this to happen to me, God? When he's building something and he's allowing us to get stronger, it's not that he wants us to hurt. He doesn't want us to have, but sometimes we need that in order to, or we won't make it. Are there tough times coming ahead?
Yeah.
Maybe we should see some tough times first. Or if you get all the tough times all at once, might be a little overwhelming. But if you build that endurance and you know, like Vivian said, what's on the other side, well, then you can go through it. That's the only way we're going to go through it, is to keep focused on Jesus.
Amen.
And then those difficulties are just something we can use to get closer to him. Is there another?
But are we really ready for those tough times, though? Are we really ready for them? Are we ready to die for God? Are we ready? Because in the end times, you're going to have to face persecution.
Right.
Are we ready to die for the Lord? I'm personally not at that point yet. I still need to get to that point with God.
Right.
Are we ready? And we have to be ready, because if we have to finish a race, we have to be, because every race has trials. Like in the Olympics, they have like those like jumping things, like people jump over. Those are just like trials in the Christian life. Are we ready?
You said, are we ready to die for him? But the big thing
is, are we ready to face trials?
Are we ready to live for him now? That's how we start. If we can live for him,
amen,
then that part, that's how we build that strength. I thank you very much. That was good.
I have to point us to Christ. We read Hebrews and talking about for what he knew was coming. But Christ in Gethsemane, on the day that was happening, we see him struggling the very battle that we're talking about here. But he totally committed himself to the Father's will. Thy will be done, not mine.
And why was that, Bob?
And as we face each one of these situations every day, are we willing to say, thy will be done?
Right.
We don't know how we're going to react tomorrow. Ask me the next day, and I can tell you how I reacted yesterday, so to speak. But am I willing to say, thy will be done, and then let him strengthen me. Because Christ, when he made that commitment, God gave him special strength. And anybody who gives their testimony about going through these hard times, and I don't remember the guy's name, but he spent 10 years or 12 years in a Chinese prison for being a preacher of the gospel. And how God strengthened them day after day after day, how they snuck in a little New Testament. And that became his source of strength. God will provide what we need when we need it, but we need to be willing to recognize today that he provided the strength for today, for this moment, as he did for Christ.
And to look to the prize, right?
And look to where homeward bound.
Jesus was looking forward to this church family, to Vivian and Cindy and Mike and all of us. And that's why he went through that. We didn't deserve it, but he said, I love them too much. I love them too much. I can get through this because I love them enough.
I had a pretty rough childhood growing up, and in response to the young lady's question, are we ready? We ourselves know we're not ready. We never will be, in my thought, ready on our own. I ask myself every day. I have a pretty interesting job, and I walk down some pretty dark areas, and I face some pretty rough people. And when I walk down those halls, I ask myself that had I not grown up the way that I did with the trials and the tribulations, would I even be working where I'm working right now? And the answer was no. I was brought through that to be where I am now. Is this what God originally had in plan for me? I have no idea, probably not. But I'm in a place where a lot of people will not go. I see a lot of things, and I've had people stand in front of me and slam their fist into a door, and let me tell you, my heart sinks inside. But in the same token, it's like I stand there unfazed, where normally you would think you would just jump. And there have been times that I've walked out and I've stood there and I've thought, wow, why didn't I have any like reaction? But I know why, because when I walk down those halls, the Lord is with me. I'm not ready on my own. We are not ready on our own, and we never will be. But when I walk down there knowing that the Lord is walking down there with me, when I walk past a gate and I hear that door shut, and I know that the Lord is with me, then I know that I'm ready. And one of these days, when we go to stand in front for the tribulations and the trials and the persecutions, we cannot be scared, because in our heart of hearts, the Lord, when I come off those halls, gives me such peace. Let me tell you, I'll break down a little while later, but he gives me the peace in the moment that we need to have that peace.
Amen. We serve a big God, bigger than anything. Yes.
Also, to answer the question, it's all things are possible through God.
Amen.
I was trying to find that verse as to where it was at. I had a neighbor that served 12 years and actually pleaded guilty for something he did not do. And the reason he pleaded guilty is so he could see his son in 12 years versus the other amount that was being offered. And he had to wait another 6 years to get acquitted.
He was found innocent. They did acquit him, though?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
But it took all those years.
Right.
So, you know, the things that we're going through now, it might be a parent that no longer is around that prayed for us. And they probably died thinking that person was not going to be saved. People died on this man's life before he got out. So it's not always just for me.
Right.
I was remembering when everybody was praying that I would get a vehicle. During that time that I did not have a vehicle, I found out that a neighbor of mine needed someone to pray in his house. Him and his wife were taking turns going to the emergency room week in, week out.
Wow.
And that is devastating to anybody.
Well, God gave you an appointment, didn't he?
Exactly. So it's not always just about us.
Right. Oh, it's rarely about us. It's usually to if we just can get off of that. That's what the devil tries to tell us. Look at all the trouble you're in. Look at, instead of how can we use it, right? All right. When we use our experience, share our experiences, it helps us understand that God is at work in the lives of people. Amen. Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to tell about a friend of mine that lived in Bloomington. She was, her and her daughter lived across the street from us, and her husband just up and left her from Africa, and he just up and left her for another woman, and she ended up in the mission with her daughter, and she had a chance to go live with other people, and she stayed there to work for God in the mission, and she did work for him.
That's awesome.
So she testified.
So what looked like a terrible situation ended up being a blessing to other people. God takes those things. Usually we get ourselves in those difficulties, really. And God doesn't want us to stay there. I want to reiterate that. We're not to look for them. But when the devil is at hard at work, he's going to throw everything at us. When he throws that at us, if we trust God, we can use that to bring glory to his name. I didn't mean to miss any. Is there anybody else?
Yep. I just want to kind of bounce off. Hi, everybody. Happy Sabbath. I was just kind of wanting to bounce off of Ariana.
Yeah.
Ellen White talks about, you know, we have a time that there's going to be where we can't buy and sell.
Right.
And Ellen White was saying that the conflict, this is Maranatha. She's saying the last conflict of the controversy with Satan and those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off. Because they refuse to break his law in obedience to earthly powers, they will be forbidden to buy and sell. Basically, what she was trying to say is our love for God so much that he's given everything for us, are we willing to give everything for him?
Right.
We are so blessed in the United States. We have water, we have food, we go to the grocery store, we can just buy whatever we want. There's going to be a time where we're just going to have to give everything up.
Right.
And are we ready to give that for the Lord? As you guys were saying, we see what is coming.
Right.
Our future is in heaven. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, like you said, and remember that this is only for a short time.
Right.
We have to give up everything for the Lord.
So if we have a little difficulty,
yes,
kind of
helps
us to
he will
prepare
help us,
for it.
But we have to be willing.
That's true.
Because
you're right.
It says, wide is the gate, narrow is the path. Many are called, but few are chosen, because we choose food. That was
right.
Eve's first sin was food, and it's going to happen again.
Right. Or Esau gave his birthright for it, right?
So that's what Ariana was trying to say. Are we willing to give it all up for the Lord?
Right.
There's going to be many days that we're starving.
That's true.
But God says he will provide.
But there
will be starvation.
Right.
And there also will be many people that we know in the church
Right.
That's what I was trying to say. I'm not just trying to say that are we ready physically to give up for God? Because personally, I think we all here love to be alive and live our life in peace.
Right.
And also live our life for God and not go through, like, death and be afraid to pass away.
Right.
But I'm not meaning to say that. Are we ready to die for God spiritually and physically, give up our life for him? Are we ready to pass away? Are we ready? Because we need the peace and love of God.
Amen.
To pass away for him. That's what I mean. Are we ready to go through everything, that everybody in the world against us, our own friends and family, our own mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers?
Right.
Are we ready for everybody to be against us? for the Lord. Because everybody was against him. His own siblings were against him when he was younger.
Right.
And even growing up, his own people was against him. Are we ready for everybody to be against us? That's what I'm trying to say. Are we ready to go through the afflictions that Jesus went through? Are we ready to go through that for him?
We have it coming.
Yeah.
We are seeing the signs. We are seeing the signs of Revelation and Daniel coming to pass, and in Matthew 24. We are seeing them coming to pass before our very eyes. Are we ready? Because time is very short.
Amen.
Time is very short.
We need to be fasting and praying for each other.
Right.
For strength. We need strength. We need to be encouraging each other in the Word.
Amen.
We need to be strengthening each other, and we need to be ready to die and give up everything for everybody to be against us. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. Thank you.
Indeed.